Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy, good sir.
That was a good one.
I was
made me
up.
Smile.
I just saw an old Cuban man.
I liked it.
Ain't nobody got time for
on that. ESPN. It kind of got me jazzed up.
Yeah, who's that guy?
Dan Le Batard's dad.
What's he doing?
Well, he was gearing down. I saw him take his shirt off and then gyrate. He was shaking and thrusting thusly, and I really didn't know what to make of it.
So his dad is on his show?
Yeah, his parents are Cuban immigrants.
I knew that.
And so he grew
well,
up.
Well, I guess I kind of knew that.
We grew up in Florida, and so yeah, if you ever watch, what is it? Is it Highly Questionable? Is that the name of the show?
Yes.
Yeah, and so the guy that does the little announcer with the thick accent, that's Le Batard's dad.
Yeah, no, I've seen him, and I knew that. I didn't know he was like regular on there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's on there. I haven't consumed that show much, but.
Yeah, he's on there every day. And he's been on there for a while. And it's kind of cool. He gets to work with his dad.
Maybe we should put our dads on our show. What do you think?
Old man Rob, old man Sakanik on here. My dad would love that. Although
he's got hot takes.
He would try to take over the show.
Yeah, he would.
He would not
He's a big personality.
He would not be okay with just trying to have like a bit piece or whatever. He would actively try to push one of us out, probably me. So let's go ahead and say no to that.
Got some hot tea.
Me too.
Got some water over here.
It's quite blustery outside.
Very blustery week.
It's beautiful, but holy hell is it cold. So last night I went home and I was going to work the old...
Well, I mean, it's not that cold.
With the wind, it's chilly.
It was freezing this morning.
It was legit cold this morning.
I went for a run and I instantly regretted it.
I went to barbecue last night and got the old barbecue out. Although it's always out, I should say. It's just a gas
barbecue. You took the cover off the barbecue?
Yeah, pulled the cover off the barbecue, threw some chicken on there, and it was so windy, the wind kept blowing out the damn burners. It was driving me nuts. I had to set up some sort of found some boards to try to set up like a wind blocker sort of thing. Because it kept blowing it out. It was driving me nuts.
How come weather.com doesn't give me wind chill?
I don't know.
What the F?
Maybe go find somewhere else.
Yeah, I'm going to have to download another weather app.
It was beautiful outside today, but I will tell you that
if you just scroll on weather.com on the app, it tells you what the wind chill is.
The wind made it, I'm not going to say it was unenjoyable, but what would have been a great day outside certainly got knocked down a peg or two due to the blustery nature of it. And it was really blowing. When I was coming across the bridge, and I got the big SUV, the hood was shaking. You know, like from the wind blowing it up, and I was all over the road. And there was a couple small, like little passenger cars. It was like bumper bowling out there. I mean, they were all over the lanes on the 205 bridge. I mean, that thing was howling.
Now, on the app, it says temperature 44 degrees.
Yeah.
That would be Fahrenheit.
You are correct.
And then.
You want to tell us what it is, Celsius?
It says feels like 37. I assume that's wind chill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's saying 37.
And last time I checked, 37 is pretty cold.
Now, don't you think our weather this week feels more like, sort of like Idaho, Montana weather?
I was going to go Colorado, but sure. Yeah. Same sort of thing.
It's sunny.
Sunny, but
windy and
but cold with a little bit of the wind chill.
Yeah, very 30, odd.
30, feeling like 37 with the wind hitting you, that's cold.
We're the new San Diego?
It's cold for Portland. Well, look, it's raining down in San Diego. You never know nowadays.
That's true.
Mother Nature, she's a bitch.
With El Nino and El Nina, and they're raking forest floors, and you don't know what's happening. You're right.
Don't forget about Scott Free.
Oh, yeah. Well, and there's the water. There's the ocean water. It's big water. You don't know what's happening.
The wettest in terms of rain.
I'd appreciate it if you guys would stop taking shots at my president.
I'm not taking shots at anyone.
This makes me upset.
I'm busy staring at big water right now. Not necessarily ocean water, but it's big water.
We're all in this together.
We are.
True story.
Hey, we all came to the funeral, right? They were all sitting by each other?
Yeah.
The Clintons, the Obamas, the Trumps?
I watched that. I don't know why, but I get into those.
Do you?
Well, I mean, I'm not into it, but I'm interested in it.
You like death, do you?
Look at Rob.
Well, hey, you know what? The dying process is quite fascinating if you've ever been up close to it.
Well, the dying process or like the funeral process?
Both.
Okay.
All of it. is just it's interesting. It's an interesting just if you're paying attention, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mean anything like sinister. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's interesting, and it's something that since the beginning of time we've been trying to come to grips with.
Yes.
Some people better than others.
Well, and I don't know if you've ever had.
It's like the biggest fear on earth, isn't it?
Fear of dying. I think public speaking might be number one.
Yeah, but I think deep down for most people, it's the fact that they're going to die.
Probably.
You know, this is where, it's the basis of a lot of.
The eternity of everything.
Yeah.
Well, it is freaky if you think about it, the idea of like if you die and you don't have any sort of belief system, the idea that just. You're gone and you'll never be aware that you're gone and it just kind of goes on forever. That is kind of a, I don't know, that is a very depressing sort of thing, which is why I think a lot of people hold on to, you know, whatever it is you hold on to.
That's what faith.
But if you've been up close,
faith, babe.
I think a lot of people, to be honest with you, unless you're getting older, have never really been up close and personal with it.
That's perhaps true.
I mean, up and until, you know,
you probably wouldn't have the same perspective then.
No.
You have to have gone through it.
So we, you know, we grandparents, but I was never really close to anyone of my grandparents. And to be honest, my parents weren't that close to their grandparents. So when they passed away when I was younger, it was like, eh. And then in the span of, three and a half years, we lost. So my brother's wife, she lost her mom and her sister. We lost my dad. And I lost my wife in it was three and a half year period. It was one of the more depressing things ever. We went into the mortuary and the guy knew us by name. I went in with my sister-in-law to help me because I was a bit of an emotional wreck. And it's not a good idea when you walk into the mortuary place and he goes, "Hi, Heather." Like, no, you don't want to be on a first name basis with that man.
Do they have like a little punch card?
I guess. Like, if we get another one's free. But it just was like, I was not.
But I just mean I like.
I wasn't prepared for any of that.
Yeah, so you've been through it. I mean, a lot of people have been through it. It's just like, I just mean like when you're watching someone die. You know, it's like, it's a very fascinating thing.
Yeah, my dad.
And what people do, and if they hear you, they say the hearing is the last thing to go, even though they're not responsive. And it's just very, I don't know. And then what happens? You know, it's like.
Yeah,
you lower someone into the ground. It's like, okay, so their body's down there. Now
it's,
what?
It's a trip.
You know, it's just, it is a trip, man.
And even seeing how
freaking trip, bro.
Even seeing how people deal with it.
That's true. Like, that's why I watched today. Well, that's part of the reason why I watched today. One is I like the speeches. I think that John Mitchum, the historian guy who wrote the book on George Herbert.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Walker
certain.
Bush.
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it?
No.
Yeah, John, he's around. He's like one of the talking heads, but he's a historian, presidential historian. And he's really good. He gave a really good speech. I wanted to see him. And then I wanted to see George W. up there. And George W. broke down and cried. And it's like, you know, it's just seeing how people handle that is also, to me, interesting.
Well, and seeing even people that are, I remember, and people asking, I had two dads, right? People are like, you're just
my
talking
two
about
dads. That was a TV show.
Yeah, you're talking about, how did you lose your dad? And you're talking about him being on the radio show. I still have one hanging around. So we had two. Parents divorced.
Rank your dads.
Not doing that, but I love them both.
Live on the air.
Love them both dearly. John and Bob Brown.
Rank great, all your parents.
Great people.
Rank your family members.
That I may be able to do sometime. But I remember my dad died of cancer, and we went home we found out at the hospital, we went and had like the checkup scan. They're like, it's back and it's spread. And you know, that's it. And my dad, like, I remember getting that news and just being devastated, right? Like, my dad's dying, and there's nothing he can do about it. And I remember my dad being like, all right, let's go home. And he's like, hey, get me out of here. I don't want to be in the hospital anymore. And just being like he didn't care. Like, he found out, like, he had some bad brakes on a 72 Buick. And then he got home, and so he was like, we're just going to go on hospice care. He'll go home, and he'll pass away. And he died in a couple weeks. But I remember laying in bed that night with him, and him picking up the phone, and I swear to God, this was the phone call he had. He called like one of his cousins, and he was making phone calls, and he goes, hey, Bob Brown here. Sorry I didn't get you. I'm dying, so if you want to talk to me, I'd call me back pretty soon because I don't know much longer I'll be around. Found out the cancer's back. Hope you're doing well. Bob Brown again. Dying, and hung up the phone. And I'm like, Dad, you can't leave that message. Like that, no, you don't leave that. And he's like, why not? He's like, everything I said is truthful. I'm like, you can't do that to people.
I'm with Bob Brown on that.
And he made every one of those calls. I sat there all night while
he's the one dying.
He called friends and family and is like, he was inviting them to a seafood buffet. Hey, call you. Come to the buffet if you want. If not, I'll be dead. Didn't care one iota. It blew me away.
Well, that's for him, not you.
Yeah.
You should just let him do. He can do it however he wants. He's the one dying, not you.
I know. I just kind of thought that's a serious phone call and should be done like to the person, not leave a message and have some like reverence to it. No. He's just like, yeah, Bob Brown dying.
Hey, it's Bob Brown.
Yeah. There's like a hushed tone.
Yeah. Give me a call. I really need to talk to you.
Yeah. No. Just there was 10 people that night that came home and got that message that Bob Brown was dying and call back if he wants. But, you know, you want to hurry because you don't know how much longer he'll be around.
Well, there's some hot death talk for you guys.
Yeah. How about that?
All right.
I don't even know how that happened. But...
Well, we had the presidential funeral today.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I didn't catch much of that other than just kind of background of stuff.
I watched it. And I thought Jimmy Carter's wife fell asleep multiple times.
Well.
For those of you that.
She's like 90-something, right?
Oh, yeah. She's old.
What line is it where you're okay to fall asleep wherever? I'm going to say like 78. If you're 78, you should be able to fall asleep whenever and wherever you like.
Well, unfortunately, I think that happens at an earlier age. To people.
But I feel like if you're 65 and you fall asleep, you're getting judged. 78, no one's judging you or waking you up. You're like, eh, whatever, let him sleep.
Yeah, I'll go 80.
Yeah, 80. It's just, what are you going to do?
I felt like she was asleep over there. Somebody should have given her a pillow.
A little elbow nudge.
But I will say, too, Jimmy Carter, to me, he looks better than Bill Clinton.
Really?
And Carter's 94, Clinton's 72. Yeah, the Clintons don't look good.
Well... That surprises me.
They were all
me.
Sitting there, you know, lined up on the front row.
Yeah, I saw Clinton. I guess I didn't really pay any attention to Jimmy Carter. I just saw the Clintons, then I saw the Obamas, and I saw the clip where the Trumps come and sit down. And Michelle Obama gives him a great eyebrow.
What's with the candy thing?
I don't know.
So you know the whole bit there?
Yeah.
Where George W. hands Michelle Obama like mints or something?
Yeah, I'm assuming some sort of breath mint.
Yeah, he did it again today.
I didn't know. Is there like a significance behind
it's
it?
It's a thing. Well, that's what I just asked.
I'm guessing.
I'm asking you.
I'm guessing he just likes mints.
Jeez.
Well, are you a mint or a gum guy?
I'm not a gum guy. I'll do a mint.
See, my brother always has mint or gum on his person. And I think if you're a mint or a gum person, at an event like that, you don't have to go like front to back, but side to side. I think you offer it around. Like if you get in my car, I always have a mint or a gum and I offer that. I think
yeah,
the
but
same.
For them, it's a special thing and I'm not sure what it is.
Mm. Yeah, but, I don't know if there was a...
Because I think they were sitting at... What was it that they were... Maybe it was the inauguration or something. Something. They were sitting there next to each other.
And they did that?
Well, and he popped one in and I think he slid her one and they caught it on camera. And everybody's like, oh man.
It was adorable.
It's cute. He's sliding her blow.
Are you really? I'm looking at the photo.
And it wasn't blue.
Are you claiming Jimmy Carter looking better than Bill Clinton?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Boy, I don't know about that.
Clinton does not. Well, the point is, look, Jimmy Carter's 94, dude.
Yes.
I'm not saying he looks great. Clinton looks horrible.
Okay, so that's you need to amend that statement and say that Jimmy Carter
I think Carter looks better.
Carter looks good for 94. Clinton may not look good at 72, but there's no way that Jimmy Carter looks better than Bill Clinton.
I think he looks better than Bill Clinton. Yeah, and then you toss Hillary in with Bill. Boy, I tell you what. You want to talk about four bags under the eyes. Good health.
Yeah, they've been through a lot.
Well, haven't we all?
And you know that they have to sit by each other and neither one of them can stand the other. Let's play that fun game of how much do the Clintons hate one another.
And then there's those Obamas just sitting there all radiant.
Yeah, they've looked great. Now that they've left the office.
They're the perfect couple.
They're beaming.
All right. Well, there it is. Hot death and president talk for you guys on a Wednesday.
Yeah, that was
on a sports Wednesday.
Yeah, where do we go?
We'll be back tomorrow.
Where do we go from there?
3 to 7.
Tune in.
With hot burial talk.
Yeah.
So. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Are you ready?
No, but let's do it.
1, 2, 3, break.
Let's do it anyways.
Well, the NFL.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hump Day Roundup is coming up at 4. Got a lot of news. Hey, listen, I've got a really big survivor pool dilemma.
Oh. Yeah, you're still in it, right?
Still alive.
How many left?
14.
Oh boy, you're down to the nitty gritty.
And then, of course, if you make it to through week 17, it's just split by whoever's left.
Yeah, you get peace.
Right. So, we got a lot of money on the line, and I tell you what, this is going to be a pivotal week.
All right.
Because I've used all the big boys. And yeah, so now I'm down to the Denvers and Tennessees of the world. Ooh. Yeah. So
we'll walk you through it. We'll hold some hands.
We'll talk about that. What's going on with the Blazers? Probably the Blazers just pretty blazery, but you know, we can talk about it.
I would say that this is more than just being blazery.
Oregon gets another slap on the wrist. Do we care about that? Probably not.
Cheating bastards. Can you believe it?
Yes.
Oh yeah, me too.
I have a Jim Levitt segment today.
Okay.
For you guys.
All right.
I want to talk about Jim Levitt.
I want to talk about the major infractions that were going down at that lawless program. No?
No.
Not
okay.
Wait, who are you talking about? Oregon?
Clearly. Who else is cheating like this? This is egregious. Putting up inappropriate things on message boards.
Go Ducks.
It's unbelievable. Lack of supervision, assistant strength coaches monitoring workouts. Throw the book at him.
And I got to tell you, we'll have to do the ice pick through the ween story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just,
yeah, you got
we're going to have to get to that, too.
You got to.
So let's start with Oregon getting another slap on the wrist. What is this? What is this?
I don't know. I'm glad to see the NCAA isn't wasting their time or anything.
We'll get to that coming up next. It is 3:16 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's 3:20 with Isaac and Souk. Tonight is Metallica. You going to Metallica again?
No, why would I do that? Come on.
How many times have you seen them now?
A lot. I don't know.
Is it over 10?
Yes.
Wow.
We're probably in the, somewhere in the teens to 20s.
Seriously?
It's been a lot.
Man, that is a lot.
There's a handful of...
Where are they playing? The
Moda Center.
Yeah.
Handful of bands that I don't really keep count of anymore. There's just, there's a lot. And so, you know, if you've seen someone more than 12, 13 times, you don't count anymore. You're just like, I've seen them a bunch.
So you have to see them when they come through.
The only time that I have missed them in the last 25-ish years, 30 years... my daughter was really sick and in the hospital years and years and years ago. And so we stayed in the hospital with her and I did not go.
Why didn't you go to the show, man?
Leave the ICU. honey, I'd love to stay here with our really, really sick kid, but I got a...
just say you're going to the bathroom.
Well, it's only a couple hours.
Got a show
I'll be right back.
Walk through the ICU, come back with a tour
she
concert.
She texts you, Tab, where'd you go? Don't worry, just a really, really
right
bad
back.
Time in the bathroom.
Long line.
We'll be good. I like to hold it over her head, though. Like a little brat. Remember that when you were like three?
She owes you.
Missed that concert? I think that's the only time that I have missed them. And then a couple times a year, over the years, I've gone and traveled.
Now, those guys still together, the Ridge?
No.
Who's gone?
Well, the bass player died, years.
Well, no, I'm saying like, yeah, the four that most people know.
No, the bassist left, gosh.
Is that Hammett?
No, he's still around. Jason Newsted was their guitar player, and
he left right
before
the guy with the hair?
Yeah, he had the long, curly kind of red hair. He left, and now they got Ozzy's bassist that's in
there.
Oh,
that's
now.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, that's going to be exciting.
Three original members that have been there since essentially since the very beginning.
Now, Masters Pete's going.
Yeah, we're going to try to hook up for a pop.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wanted to hang with you.
Yeah, we're going
to. Because he thinks you can get him backstage.
I think a lot of people think that. I got nothing.
I know. He texted me. I said, I can't get you backstage with Metallica.
Yeah, I got.
Come on, Pete.
There seems to be that belief that a lot of people are like, hey, can I meet the. No, I'm not in the band. I don't know the band.
What's the drummer's name? That douchebag? Yeah, Lars.
Yeah.
God, even if I had an in to meet him, I wouldn't let you meet him. He's such a douche.
I'm friends with someone that works for the band, but I don't have some sort of like magic pass that you can just
go
and do whatever.
Clearly you're not friends.
97 people, come on back with me. No, it doesn't quite work that way.
Well, I won't be there.
No, so I figured you will not be.
I'll be thinking of you.
I will be there rocking for you. And two of the stupid satanic children, this will be their first time. So the eldest has been once before, but the younger two shall be popping the proverbial Metallica,
the cherry,
the balloon, if you will. My son is an idiot, but tonight he shall rock.
All right. So the NCAA announced its findings on allegations involving Oregon men's and women's basketball today.
Yeah.
Oh, and the track and field
program. Track and field team.
Yeah. So are these bad?
Who cares?
They got 2 years probation, dude.
I guess. Like that was like the most random.
So no one cares about NCAA punishments anymore.
No, not when they don't have any real impact on you. I mean, I guess you're on probation, so you can't screw up anymore. But like,
haven't they been on probation since Chip Kelly?
I think that probation's ended now.
See, nobody even that's the thing about probation. It sounds all scary, and you're like, ooh. But nobody even knows when you're on or not on it.
No. Like, people forget that Chip Kelly had, like, a show cause penalty against him. Like, no one cares. This was, like, the most ridiculous, like, list of...
I love how they can get to this. Yeah, there's a big, long list. I'll spare you, but it's nothing's major.
No. I didn't even understand half of it, to be honest with you.
I don't either. Like, I read through it twice.
There were some hours. Like, apparently, you have to limit the number of coaches that can be around for one of the teams for 10 hours and one of the team for 5 hours?
Countable coaches.
I don't...
Countable coaches.
What does that even mean?
I can tell you exactly what it means. Via drop. Are you ready?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
There you go.
So for 5 hours, the countable coaches they have to be less?
I don't know. Who cares? But they get fined $5,000.
Yeah. Where is Oregon going to come up with a $5,000 fine? Like,
but
what the hell?
Isn't it funny how they can come out with this stuff and like, oh man, we've investigated this. And then today, I don't know if you saw, but Mark Emmert, the head of the NCAA,
yeah,
he was speaking at some stupid thing and he said that they have already launched investigations into the schools that were
part of the NCAA basketball.
Well, that were in the FBI,
yes,
Adidas trial,
yeah,
that came out via that. God,
we knew where you were going with that.
Yeah, so Kansas, Louisville, NC State, those schools. Oregon was not mentioned, even though they were mentioned in the trial.
Yeah,
but he said they've already launched investigations into those schools. But he said they will not. There will be no punishments, if any, until after the 2019 Final Four, and. I would like to play via drops.
Yes.
My feelings on that.
Well, here's the thing.
Because Kansas is really good this year.
We gotta make sure we cover our asses that if we do find something, which we won't because we don't want to, we want to make sure that we don't have to act upon it in a timely fashion.
That's right. See, we bring in a lot of bucks to the NCAA at KU. You better not be sniffing up our skirt.
I just love that this is how they're spending
you
their money.
You need us in that tournament.
Is by finding Oregon $5,000 and then at one regular practice for 5 hours, you reduce the number of countable coaches by one. So if you've got like 6 coaches out of the... What?
It's brutal.
So if you have 6 coaches out, one of them has to go in the back and do like a 5 Mississippi count until he can come back out and coach?
Yeah.
What if he's only gone for 4 hours?
Well, I think you need
who's monitoring that?
You need to be thinking of the implications of the kids, okay? Oh, the student athletes.
Yes.
Okay.
How are they going to practice for 5 whole hours with one less countable coach? Now, can I have uncountable coaches there? What if he's just up in the stands and he's yelling directions at him? Does that count as a countable coach?
Well, I will tell you that college basketball is what it is, as you all know.
Yeah.
And Oregon is, you know, not very good. I mean, they're okay. They'll be fine. Come March, I bet. I'm going to predict right now, they'll be an 8 seed.
Oregon?
Yeah, and a dangerous one. Hmm. But there are some good teams. You know, Duke, Kansas, and then Gonzaga. Really good teams.
Yes.
In college basketball. So, just wanted to point that out.
Just throwing that out there.
Well, I mean, it's like a lot of times people just roll their eyes at college basketball. I'm telling you, this year, there's some good ones.
Yeah. And they're all dirty and should be having countable hours for coaches.
You know, the Zags play the Huskies tonight.
Is that a rival? Doesn't Washington have to be good?
Oh, they're all right. I think Washington's all right.
Does the Pac-12 doesn't have a ranked team, right?
They have one, Arizona State.
Arizona State's ranked? Oh, what you're saying is it's been a banner year for Pac-12 football and Pac-12 basketball.
Well, anyway, I'll spare you the details, but you don't need to worry about anything. The men's basketball program at Oregon is in good hands.
Kelly Graves is the women's coach. He got dinged, a 2-game suspension that he has to serve for having an assistant strength coach that was monitoring practices and he should have known better.
Now, they say they're going to appeal, though.
Why?
Because they're pissed.
For what? And then there's
they're
going
to appeal because they don't agree about the women's track thing.
Yeah, so there was a women's track. Let's see if I've got this somewhat correct. There was a women's track athlete that needed a certain grade in a class, and she was failing. So he went to the professor and was like, hey, can I do this work and get my grade up? I need like a D minus in order to pass. And he said, yeah, you can turn in this extra work. So he tried to turn in the work, but the grades had already been turned in. And so he just bumped the grade up to a B, supposedly to be indicative of the work she'd already done. And that's what they got dinged for. So there was a track athlete that got a grade she didn't deserve. The entire SEC in every sport has athletes that are getting grades that they don't deserve. And that's the part I just roll my eyes at. I knew a guy that I played with in Tennessee that had a college degree from an SEC school, Tennessee, who claims he didn't go to a class for 2 years.
Peyton Manning.
No. I'm guessing Peyton Manning didn't have to do anything. I mean, North Carolina made up a major. They made it up and nothing happened to him. But an athlete like gets a grade changed. And now we're like, well, the NCAA better investigate. It's just, if you are going to investigate and you find something, then put some teeth to it. But this crap, it's like you're punishing like a dog by spraying it in the face with a water bottle. There's just zero teeth to any of it.
You know, I find that to be, I've never really used that, but there have been times where I've seen it done.
Yeah.
And it works.
Does it?
Yeah, so I don't like your analogy.
So this right here, this is going to clean
up the
entire Oregon program. This sort of just hammer decision by the NCAA.
Sometimes the dogs don't like that.
No. Getting sprayed? Well, who does? I'm sure the men and women's programs and all the Oregon sports are really looking at this right now being like, God, I hope we're not the next one to fall on the sword.
Well, I think it's great that we're basically trending towards a college sports landscape that doesn't really even pay any mind to the NCAA.
No.
Like, they don't really even care.
No.
I mean, you kind of say what you have to say to not piss them off.
Sure.
But you're just like, ah. Like, Oregon has batted more of an eye at this stupid stuff than they did at the fact that an Adidas rep was on trial with the feds saying that a coach was paying a potential recruit, right?
Yeah.
Like, they didn't even bat an eye at that.
No.
They didn't even respond to it, really.
No, not
really. In fact,
we
were going to have Dana Altman in here. He was coming in studio, and shockingly, he canceled.
Yeah, well, he didn't cancel. His schedule changed. And
right.
He did. So he had some other stuff he had to do.
That all happened when the trial was going down. And we said, hey, look, it's a delicate dance. We're the home of the Ducks and everything, but we got to ask these questions. And he's used to them, Altman. He's gotten those questions before.
Yeah.
And so we go to Oregon. We're like, hey, if he's going to come in here, you do need to be prepared. We don't want to blindside him, but we're going to ask him about the FBI, the trial.
Yeah, your program and one of your assistant coaches has come up multiple times.
And they were like, oh, well, we haven't really even thought about it. I mean, like, to them, it wasn't even a thing. They're like, we haven't even thought about that. It was like, no. Yeah, ask away. We don't care. That's crazy to me. Like, the whole NCAA is just, it's kind of there, but it's not really. No one cares.
No.
All right, let's get to your hometown boys. The Portland Trail Blazers lost again.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty.
They are now eighth in the West and falling. Is the sky falling?
Yeah.
Next, here's Mike.
Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
You are right over there?
Apologies. I was trying to rap.
Yeah, you got in the got a little happy with the ha button.
I love your ha.
I do what I can.
Ha! Ha! I love your peanuts, man.
So the Blazers lose again.
Yeah.
Jace.
What?
It's
true.
That whole first place thing. I hope you saved this screen grab because I don't think you're going to see that again for a while. It's not pretty.
So you remember when they beat Boston?
Yeah.
And they were 10-3,
mm-hmm.
And everybody was freaking out.
Yes. There was a lot of high hopes.
How could you have known that the Blazers would then go 3-8?
Well, I feel like
play no defense.
I feel like maybe you had a feeling about that.
And then lose to Dallas, San Antonio, Denver, L.A.
You're two games away right now from being the second worst team in the West. Although,
whoa, really?
Yeah, the West is funky. Outside of Phoenix, which is, I think Phoenix has won like three games. And by the way, you play Phoenix next, so
they've won four, sir.
Four.
And by the way, Phoenix is here tomorrow.
Yeah,
they have listed Booker out and Warren doubtful.
So I saw that the
so there's a win.
Yeah, Booker missed. Last night, I didn't see that he was out for this one. But yeah, Phoenix is awful. So they're 4-20. But outside of that, so Portland is what in the eighth seed? They're 13-11. 14th place in the West is San Antonio. They're 11-13. So
weird.
Yeah, you're two games away. The West is strange.
I like the West this year because it's kind of funky in that the Warriors, you know, it's like, what's going on with them? No, I'm sure they'll get it together.
Yeah, but they certainly don't look like the Warriors that we've seen in the past.
And there's new blood, you know? I mean, there's
Nuggets,
Denver,
Clips.
The Clippers, the Thunder up there. The Lakers are interesting with LeBron. I still think they're going to be tough come playoff time. And you got the Kings, and maybe then you've got, like, the Timberwolves or the Jazz or somebody making a run. I mean, it's the Rockets, what's going on with them?
Yeah, look at
that. Very interesting year.
Well, we thought Utah was going to be better than this. And you mentioned New Orleans and Houston. You would think eventually with those players that those guys get it going. And it's going to be very competitive again where you feel like – maybe two, three games separate number three from number nine. And that's the scary thing if you're Portland is, you know, you go and look through the month of December and outside of Phoenix, you play like this, you're going to dig yourself a nice little hole that could be hard to climb out of.
Yeah, but, you know, you got to remember they were 10-3 out of the gate. I mean, they're just going through a rough patch. I mean, are you super worried about them? Isn't this like what we thought they'd be anyway?
I didn't think they'd be quite like this. I mean, the defense is absolutely horrific at this point. And that's something that you thought you've corrected. And the bench scoring, which we thought had been a strength at the start of the season, that's completely disappeared. Mo Harkless isn't giving you anything. So I was higher than you were during the run. I thought, well, maybe Portland is better than we gave him credit for. And so maybe I've just been too high and maybe I'm a little bit lower right now than you are. But yeah, this doesn't look good.
Well,
you're even getting Dame saying at halftime he's trying to have talks with people now. So I think even he is looking at this and being like, guys, this you can't keep this going.
Well, he's your only hope. I mean, they don't have any other players like him. I mean, he's the guy that's got to pull him out of it. I mean, he's the guy that's been carrying him for 3 years. So they'll turn to him. I don't know. I just think it's interesting to me that everybody was so disappointed in the offseason with who they got, which was virtually no one. But, you know, I could see why they made the moves they made. Better shooters, you know. And then they get over their skis on the start, like as if this wasn't coming, you know. I mean, come on, look at the roster.
Yeah.
So I think they'll get it together and raise your hopes sky high before ripping your heart out again, because that's what they do.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Now,
this is a very tough month, and I think December is going to be very, very telling. After you get by the Suns, there are just no gimmies here. And in the West, there may not be gimmies, period. And if they play the way they have, you're going to find yourself a couple games below 500 here.
Here's the interesting question now is if you are like me and have been tired of this
mediocrity for
3 years. I've been saying this for 3 years.
Yes, you have.
And here they are again. If you're tired of that, at this point, you might want to root
for the loss,
for something to implode here. With the trade deadline coming up, you know, I mean, it's
lottery.
You know what they're like? They're like the Cowboys. They're like the Dallas Cowboys. And everybody was waiting for Jason Garrett to get fired. And there are a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans that are pissed that they're sitting there 7-5 now, because now they're like, damn it, now they're going to keep Garrett and they're going to keep this mediocre trainer rolling. And that's what's going to happen. They're good enough and Lillard's good enough that they will probably get it together, be somewhere in the middle of the West, give you hope going into the playoffs, and then they're not talented enough to win a series and they'll lose again.
So what you need is
a Lillard
back injury to keep you out for a while.
That or just go in the toilet, like get people start pointing fingers and, you know, the chemistry, the supposed chemistry that they have, you know, just breaks apart and they start hating each other and hate playing and don't try. And we see it all the time in the NBA. Don't think it can't happen to the Blazers. And then all of a sudden you're down in the lottery and maybe trading Damian Lillard to the Lakers.
Well, I don't know. I don't think anyone wants to see that.
Is that a little much?
But how about you saddle like a top three draft pick? How about you get one of the Duke boys? How about you do that?
Amazing.
You get Bo or Luke Duke there and you throw that onto the roster.
Amazing. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
But Phoenix has already got a stronghold on that.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
see, they're doing it the right way.
See, Phoenix has a stronghold on it, but I need to look at the East because I haven't seen much of the East.
It's
but
the Bulls. The Bulls and the Hawks.
You're only two games away from getting ping pong balls that could land you a top three or four spot because the West is so competitive.
But remember, they don't believe in that. So they're not going to tank.
Bro. Yeah, the East has more contenders for that because you got the Bulls, the Hawks, the Cavs,
guys,
the Knicks.
Move on.
Yeah. So you know what we do? We need a nondescript back injury to keep Lillard out for like 2 months. Then just have everything come undone. But it was like the year that David Robinson got hurt for San Antonio, right? San Antonio was a pretty good team. Robinson gets hurt. They're terrible that 1 year. They get the balls to bounce their way. They get Tim Duncan. Now you're talking.
Okay,
that's what you need.
They NBADraft.net.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson to Phoenix. RJ Barrett to Cleveland. Cameron Reddish to Atlanta. They have the three freshmen from Duke, the top three
picks. One, two, three.
That's crazy.
Well, they got to start losing then.
This is BS.
Yeah, 3 out of 10 is nice, but we need to put together a good month-long losing streak here to find yourself in the lottery. I'm trying to think of the best way to put it. I think there are a lot of people right now that are starting to come around to your way of thinking. And, you know, it takes a long time. You have a passionate fan base that want to believe. And I do think that the GM bro does a very good job of selling it. I think he's very good at putting the spin on it. And look, even I at the start of the year, and I'm with you every day for 15 years and your cynical ass wears me down. But even I at the start of the season kind of was like, wow, you know, the bench looks good. And, you know, Stauskas, you know, knocking down shots and Nurk is having a nice year. And Collins looked like he had developed a lot. I think there were a lot of people that really did start to believe. And now I think that has been shaken quite a bit.
Not sure why, but, and you know, I'm not gonna let you get away with calling me a cynic because I was really a hot on that first team, that first Lillard team that came out of nowhere once Aldridge left. I thought that team was fantastic to watch because they, you know, they played the right way. They moved the ball. They committed to defense. And so I praise when it's there, but I also tell the truth when I don't think I'm not always just Mr. Cynic. It just hasn't been good for 3 years. And it blows me away how many people just don't want to believe that. But I think the Pelicans sweep really showed a lot of people. Yeah. It's like, oh, okay. Yeah. But here we are again, I guess, needing to convince more people. I think that if it goes south, if it goes really south here over the next 2 months, that is not the worst thing in the world.
No, but there is this notion too that, right, if it does go south, you have to make a big move. I don't know what big move you want. That's the part that I scratch my head at. There's this belief out there that if Neil was just willing, there's some sort of foundational trade here that he's going to swoop in.
Well, he could trade Lillard
and save your roster. Yeah, but then you're going, you know, total teardown.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
No,
I think that's what some fans might want.
I think a lot of fans have this idea of, oh, go make a big splash. You don't have anything to make a big splash.
Yeah, that I think a more likely scenario is just a complete and total teardown.
Yeah. Seattle Mariners.
Even that Zach Lowe story. Remember that ESPN story? Lillard's been quoted as saying, you know, look, I want to be here.
Yeah.
But if it doesn't work out, I've given everything he's already made some quotes that are.
Well, and supposedly, if you believe that Zach Lowe story, they're saying that this was the year, right? This was kind of the final
push. He kind of insinuated that Paul Allen and Damian Lillard had an agreement that they'll try one more year here. If it doesn't happen, then Allen agreed, according to the report,
Lillard denied it.
But he said Allen agreed to trade him when he wanted out. He said, hey, I'll trade. Give me all you got for another year. I'll trade you if it doesn't work out.
But who knows now with Allen being gone or, you know, if you believe that report, but it does feel like this is a very big month coming up here in the month of December for the Blazers to see where this season goes.
And then you've got the lingering sale, you know, I mean, Paul Allen died. And so now what happened? What is Bert Cold, I think, is calling the shots now. So what does he think? Nobody knows what that guy thinks.
And what's his directive? Do they have one? Does he not care?
Did Allen tell him, hey, listen, here's the deal.
Yeah.
here's what I got going on. Here's what I want you to do if this happens.
Well, what sort of autonomy does the GM bro have at this point?
Don't know.
Who knows what the marching orders are? Because if you think Paul Allen was a bit of a recluse, welcome to the Burke Cold era.
Did you see LeBron wanted the Cavs to trade for Damian Lillard?
I did see that.
When Kyrie Irving wanted out of there?
Well, LeBron has long stated that it hasn't been a secret. He's a fan of Damian Lillard. I mean, duh, you've got one of the best players in the NBA, and the best player in the NBA wants to play with him.
Okay, right now, you have to bet.
Yeah.
Does Lillard end up playing with LeBron at any point?
Oh, no.
Yes.
I think he does.
I'm going to say no.
I think he will.
I just think it's hard to...
I think that dude's out of here.
It doesn't mean he's going to end up in L.A.
No, but, you know, LeBron's a pretty powerful figure in that league. Mm-hmm. So
Lillard's under contract for a couple more years, and I don't see Portland dealing... Just from the face of the franchise and everything that's happened between the Blazers and LA, I can't see them dealing that guy to the Lakers. I don't buy it.
All right, coming up next, when college football coaches send checks to radio hosts. Oh. Did you get yours?
I haven't gotten mine yet.
348 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, coming up, a segment on Jim Leavitt, Oregon defensive coordinator. And there was a big trade in baseball. But at 4 o'clock, it's the NFL Hump Day Roundup, and we have much to discuss.
We shall definitely hump.
Let's do hump, because I've got a very, very pressing Survivor Pool question.
Ooh. And then tomorrow, I've got a nice little giveaway here. I've got a pair of free Danner boots of your choosing.
What?
Yeah, they've got the holidays are upon us. You're looking for a gift idea. They're pushing, they've got a new Stronghold work boot. But you can get any one you want. It's just a certificate for a free pair of boots. Which I tried to give to Mike once, and he refused.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Those are really nice.
I've been doing stuff with Danner boots for a couple years, and I used to make fun of Mike, and I still do because he doesn't wear real shoes. He wears, like, New Balance running shoes no matter where he goes. And I said, Mike, I will buy you a pair of Danner boots. Go pick out whatever you want.
Which means they'll give them to you, so
no,
you don't have to buy
no,
them.
No, I was actually going to purchase them because I was going out there, and I was like, I will buy you a pair. And Mike looked at it and went, no, I don't want them. He refused to wear a pair of grown-up shoes.
Mike, those are nice boots.
Yes.
I'm sure they are very nice boots, yeah.
Won't do it.
He didn't like them.
So if you're not Mike Lynch...
I just don't normally wear boots, ever.
They have shoes.
He's not a boot guy.
They have real shoes, adult shoes.
I like my sneakers, okay? Yeah.
They don't have sneakers. So tomorrow, if you want to tune in, we will be giving away a pair,
yes,
your choosing, of free Danner boots.
If you want to tune in.
Yes.
Key
which
there.
Which you
you're
probably
not
should.
Forced to.
No, we're not going to force you to. And if you win, I guess you don't have to use it. You can be like Mike and just be like, no, I don't want them.
Okay, so we'll get to the NFL in a sec.
You be your own person, everybody.
Yeah, Mike. Stick to your guns, baby.
Stick to wearing those running shoes no matter where you go.
What's his name? Jace?
Jace.
Don't let Jace shame you. Jace is in a... He's been a pill this week.
I love the...
You stand strong.
I love the Jace trend, by the way. You've completely Jace. Started calling him Jace.
Yeah, brother.
Brother.
All right. So Mike Gundy of Oklahoma State.
He's a man. He's 40.
He is a man. He is 54, did we say?
He's in his 50s.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
No. Well, I guess technically he is 40. I mean...
So he recently...
He's just over 40.
Yeah, you know, he's a coach at Oklahoma State. There was a guy named Rob Benton who is a sports radio guy in, I guess, Oklahoma City?
He's 51. Yeah, I think Oklahoma City.
Oh, he's only 51.
Yeah, he's 51.
Yeah, and so this guy said that he bet on Oklahoma State to win at least 8 games in 2018.
Yeah.
He's a cowpoke honk.
Yeah. And they only went, 6-6?
They went 6-6. And so Gundy found out about it and said the following. He sent him a check for the guy bet $250 on this.
Yeah.
And Gundy sent him a check for $250.
It's just cutting checks.
Fantastic.
I love that.
Yeah, that's tremendous.
Well, he makes like what, 4 or 5 mil a year? Like Gundy gets paid a lot. He can swing it.
Well, but a lot of sports figures, like coaches particularly, pretend that people like this guy and us, and
yeah,
they just pretend like we don't exist, right? Yeah. Like they would never stoop to that level. And he takes his shots in here, but I thought that was cool. He said, Gundy said, I have many high school buddies who consume way too much alcohol, which leads to listening to talk radio. So he couldn't have just let it go. Say, I'm going to give that guy $250. Cool story, bro.
Well, the guy that bet, right? He's a radio personality, right?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'm getting at is these coaches, even though he does something kind of funny and cool here and he acknowledges, hey, you lost $250, he has to get his dig in. They're like, oh, nobody listens to that. I would never listen to that. Meanwhile, he knows everything that guy says.
Chip Kelly was a master of that. Chip used to do the whole, I listen to nothing, I read nothing. Chip Kelly knew every single thing that was said and written about him. And remember, Chip had something like this. Remember, Chip reimbursed someone.
He did.
It was like the LSU game or something.
It was like $100.
Yeah, it was $100 or something. Someone bought a ticket to one of the games and they got their ass kicked and he was bitching and moaning about it and Chip wrote him a check for it.
So then he says, the rumor is you bet on our team and lost your money. We came up short, so I thought the manly, and then he puts in parentheses 51.
Because he's 51!
thing to do is to reimburse a guy for believing in our team. Capital. Team. Thanks for your loyal support. So he sent him $250.
And he put your favorite coach. Mike Gundy.
Yeah, pretty cool.
I love Mike Gundy.
He's great. Gundy. Although he seems a little salty.
Well,
he thinks everything is the worst thing in the world. Like, you know, didn't he blame he blamed transfers on snowflakes, on the liberals?
Yeah, I do think I remember that.
Like, he goes a little far sometimes. Like, he thinks the internet's the worst thing in the world, which it's not.
And he's always trying to find ways to take his shirt off.
Right.
He's one of those guys now. Like he's
got a mullet. So.
He's on like testosterone now, so he lost some weight. So he's always trying to gear down and then act like someone like it's not his idea. Like he was at a basketball rally, and he's the one that was. It was this quarterback. It might have been like Mason Rudolph. He's like, well, if Mason takes his shirt off, maybe I'll take mine off too. When all along the goal was to get his shirt off and be like, hey, check out what Mike Gundy's got going on.
Yeah, oh, I'd give a rat's ass about Twitter.
That's our man there.
Gundy likes himself some Gundy.
So now answer this when we get back, and you can text the Better You Today text line 55305. Do you have a team that ripped your heart out financially from betting? I remember, and in other words,
you and the Raiders.
Well, they've cost me a little bit of dough, mm-hmm. but not anything like the biggest sports bet I ever placed.
Ooh.
And I will tell you about it when we come back. But this coach is off the hook. In other words, I don't want a check from him mm-hmm. because I didn't lose. But I definitely would have wanted a check from him had I lost this bet.
Ah, I'm intrigued now.
Do you have one? One that's like, man, that MF-er better not blow this. I have so much money riding on this. Think about that.
All right, let me do
that. And then we'll come
that.
Back and we'll talk about it in our NFL Hump Day Roundup. Our Better You Today text line can be reached at 55305. It is 359 on the Fan.